Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Pneumaticos. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's message is entitled, A Great Spiritual Vision Requires Great Trust in God. As is always, we're going to go to the scriptures in order to provide foundation for the title of today's message, because we live in a time in which God is doing a great work. Mind you, having said that, must also caution all of us in what we read and what we see as far as media, and understand that much of it, not all of it, is manipulated awareness so as to create a truncated consciousness on behalf of the auditors or viewers. So we must understand that what we see and what we hear is inherent or is intrinsic to the consciousness or the cosmos. On the other hand, we are told in the scriptures that our kolotuma is in heaven, and our citizenship is in heaven. And so it is important to realize that God has placed you and I where he has placed us for a reason. And God is working through his people today. God wants his people to be salt. That is, they are to provide a spiritual presence within society or culture. And the spiritual presence is to Paul uses the term Tupac or Tupac. The term Christian is used in the scripture only a couple of times, but the word tupon or tupos means to be an example or a model. And in John chapter 20, when Jesus showed the disciples the wounds that he received from the print of the nail, that word is tupos. We are to be that as well. We are tupoi. We are to be models of the grace that we know and the grace that we have experienced in our own lives. We are saved by grace. We are to grow in grace. We stand in grace. Grace is a noun. The term grace is a noun of action. in the New Testament. Charis is a noun of action, as is agape, the word for love in the New Testament, God's love for us, agape. It is a noun of action. The word pistis, or faith, in the New Testament is a noun of action. And one of the most important passive verbs that we read in the New Testament in Paul's great letter to the Church at Ephesus, this letter to the Ephesians, we are told to be filled with the Spirit. Notice the verb, be filled with the Spirit. We are to be controlled by the power of the Spirit of God. Be filled with the Spirit. As a passive verb, we're to, in which the subject is being acted upon. And we are to allow our wills must be surrendered. Our self-interest must be surrendered in order to fulfill the will of God. Indeed, the term servant, as used by the writers of the New Testament, means one whose will is swallowed up in the will of another. Ezekiel was told that by God to be a sign, say to them that I am assigned to you. That is, he was to suspend all self-interest on his part for the known will of God. So, what does it mean to have a great spiritual vision, or to say a great spiritual vision required great trust in God? Well, we're speaking about believing ones who understand the meaning of tupoi, or tupos, or tupon, what it means to be substantive models of grace. Mind you, abrogates or sets aside everything with regard to the flesh. We must nail the flesh and its desires to the cross. Everything with regard to the sarx, psychology. And see, it is the sarx psychology that is so subtle and that is so ingrained within us that it becomes it can deceive. And Paul has told us the only way to deal with the sarx is to crucify. Period. I cannot make peace with the flesh. One cannot psychoanalyze flesh. One counsel flesh. Because flesh knows how to master us and contort and distort and delude and deceive us. So the flesh must be crucified. Hence Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Note, I am crucified. Ego, I me. I am crucified with Christ. One cannot move on or move ahead to speak of great spiritual vision unless one has stopped at the cross and crucified flesh with its affections and love. Because if one does not stop at the cross and disrobe himself or herself flesh and its desires, then a great spiritual vision cannot be had. Because because we cannot go around the cross. We cannot suspend the cross. We cannot render ineffective the work of the Son of God. We must go, it is mandated in the scripture that we go first to cross. Now, the flesh is moving people in some very interesting paths these days. You see very interesting ideas emerging from the flesh. Although it is not lookable, not the flesh, nevertheless, it is through the divine revelation that you and I know that we are witnessing the unhinged works of the flesh these days. But I'm going to read from Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts 1, verse 8. These are the words of Jesus. Verse 8. Acts 1, 8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the utmost part of the earth. When he has spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up or snatched out. The cloud received him out of their sight. So, notice what Jesus said in verse 8. You shall receive power. In the future, you shall receive power, the power of God. You shall receive dynamis, energy, or the ability to do work. You shall receive this power when the Holy Spirit has come up on you. So, first of all, there must be that relationship with God through the cross. Then, one must surrender his or her will and have one's will swallowed up in the will of another. One must understand obedience. And then one receives the power of God. God gives grace, spiritual vision. See, this is not a subjective journey. It's not a subjective journey. This journey is about the will of God and what God wishes to accomplish through us as his instrumentality, or that which through whom he works, his marvelous grace. Now, I'm going to turn to Acts chapter 9. So we're past the stoning of Stephen and persecution breaks out. So I want to read verse 31, which states, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, and multiplied. Well, what happened? Notice in verse 26, we speak about Jerusalem. And also in chapter 9, there's great information on the life of Paul. Chapter 9 talks about the change in the life of Paul. And verse 32 has an interesting story. beginning at verses 32 to 34, it talks about Peter. Verse 32 reads, and it came to pass as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man, Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years, and was sick of the palsy. And John 5, the man at the pool of Bethesda had been there 38 years. This man had been in his bed. Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. So, this is a very interesting narrative, a gospel narrative or gospel tract, verses 32 to 35, because here, this individual, notice again, as I said, Peter is prominent, but he meets this individual named Aeneas. He was led to this place where this one Aeneas dwelt. Now, let me read verse 32 again. And it came to pass as Petros passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints, the Hagios, which dwelt at Lydda. Now, the name of Lydda means strife. And it was located 9 miles from Joppa. So, we have came down, which means one goes from a higher to a lower locality. And notice, the saints that dwelt in Lydda or strife. So, this name Lydda also means bitter conflict. It means also heated and violent struggle. The verb dwelt means settle down. And so, chapter within this one verse, a lot of information for us. Jesus said in Acts 1:8 that the apostles, those with him, which you give the power. It is through the power of God and through the word of God that Peter preaches great message on the day of Pentecost. And Peter was told that day, the keys, the kingdom of heaven would be given to him. Peter was given this great vision by God. Peter was endowed with power because the Holy Spirit had come upon him. The Holy Spirit had strengthened him. And notice that the disciples were told to wait at Jerusalem, the place of trauma, where they had experienced the brutality of the passion of it. Perry Mano. It's a word that's used in Acts chapter 1. You're to wait. Jesus says, stay, remain in the place where you witness the terrible brutality of passion. It is here that God will begin to make all things new. The place of our trauma. The place where we experience the most excruciating. God would change that. God would, through the power of the Spirit, make that here, Peter is given power by God. He goes down and let it in this place of sight, or he finds it, he gets struggled, and he finds the man, his name, interestingly, means liable or worthy of praise. And he was sick of the pulse. And this was his spiritual medical condition. He was loosened. This word also means to dissolve. Peter goes to Aeneas, speaks healing words, the gospel, and to his situation. Verse 34, and Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Christ maketh thee whole. Wonderful words. It is a medical term that's here. It means to cure. The curative power of the gospel. The curative power of the inbreaking of the kingdom of God into the life of an individual. God makes the whole or complete, free from errors and sin, to bring about rescue or salvation. So, God gives wonderful deliverance. God had given Peter a great spiritual vision through his word, and the power of the Spirit. We never read that Peter did not believe God. God had changed him through his power. We know about Peter's background. We know about his arrogance. We know about his denial. We know that Jesus had told him that Satan desired to have him back, that he might sift him as wheat. And Jesus said, but when you are recovered, you strengthen the brethren. Peter was broken and shattered. He was restored to wholeness. That which God had worked in his life, Peter was able to speak and use as the foundation for his witness to others. We speak that which we have experienced in Christ. So, Peter's great vision was nurtured in his or through his relationship with Christ. He was shamed by his fear and his denial of the Christ. Yet God went after him and brought him back and restored him and made him whole and complete. Peter himself, Peter is miraculous. He is a walking example or Tupac as to the work of God. Now you see why the enemy so wants to attack believing them because of their wholeness, because of the presence of Christ, because God makes them salt. God makes them light. So they become compelling witness. They become compelling theology about what God can do and is doing. And so these individuals become very dangerous to the cosmos because they show the way of grace. They show those who have not had the light of the glorious gospel of Christ to shine into them, that they no longer need to practice the works of the flesh. They can be, let's say, they no longer need to live and practice the works of darkness, sotia, that is, the consequences of darkness. The personalities, their lives can be set free from both Gautia or the consequences of darkness. God is doing a marvelous work today. His Spirit is still here within the lives of believing ones who have a great vision for God and who have great love for God. If you want a compelling vision or a spiritual vision, get to the cross. Sparks, which in no way will ever satisfy. The sparks of the flesh is insatiable. It's also destructive and it dissolves the individual. In contradistinction to that, God builds up, he gives intimate, he gives power, he gives life, he gives vision, he gives courage and fortitude. Those who have been crushed are those who have violated their trust. God is able to restore and strengthen them in the area of trust. Those who are in bitterness because of some terrible experiences, God is able to take that bitterness and use it in a marvelous way. Those who are involved in self-hate, God can take away that self-hate and give them appropriate self-respect. Those who have been abused by loved ones, God can take that abuse and use it to make that individual something modest. God has said that the wrath of man will praise him. Praise God this morning for his marvelous grace, for his wonderful power, and for the change that his Spirit brings about in those who yield themselves to his will. This morning, if you desire to have a new life, if you want to experience the power of God, you must come to the cross. You must come to Jesus and let him change you through his love. For God so loved the world, God will show you a brand new way. God can make you a new father. God can make you a new mother. God can make you a new husband, a new wife. God can make you a brand new young person with a vision of life. God will take away the self-destruction in your life. God will take away the secrets that you know you cannot bear. That separated you from loved ones. God will take away the secrets, the lies. God will take away the things that you have hidden in your heart, dare not speak. You can speak those things to the living Christ. And ask him to unburden your heart, so that you might be different. Oh, this morning, God is moving in a marvelous way. Let him bless you. Let him set you free. Let him show you his way. You will have a wonderful spiritual vision for your life and others for the future. God bless you. My name is Dr. Simon. Have a wonderful day.